Begin the current daf, Masechet Avodah Zarah, daf Samach Hei. Begin on the bottom of Samach Talmud Beis, where the Gemara brings an incident that relates back to the braises that we quoted in the previous daf. Rav Yehuda Shadule Korban, Rav Yehuda sent a gift, as he continued top of Samach Hei Alf, La Avidrana, which was the name of the non-Jew, B'yom Edom, on their pagan holiday. Amar, he said, although generally it's forbidden, says, I know he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah. There's no problem about him giving thanks to his Avodah Zarah on the day of his holiday, because he doesn't worship. On that, on Rabbi Yisuf, he said, but Vatanya learned the Brisa, which we quoted in the previous daf, is Zehu Ger Toshav. What's considered a resident convert who is someone that we're confident, who we know, according to all opinions, doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, which then I could understand why you would go ahead and give him the gift and not be concerned that he's worshiping Avodah Zarah. That's only if Kol Shekibulav Bifnei Gimel Chaveirim Sholei Lavan Avodah Zechachavim. If he accepted him from the three Tamit Chachamim not to worship Avodah Zarah, then we consider him a Ger Toshav. But if not, even though you know he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, that doesn't take him out of the category of an Akum, and how could you give him a gift on the pagan holiday? So then he answered, no, Kitan Yahi, when did the Braisa teach it? That halachic qualification I'm calling him a Ger Toshav is only for regarding the responsibility that the Jewish people have to sustain and support the Ger Toshav. For that elevated status he has to have accepted not to worship Avodah Zarah in front of the three Tamei Chacham. But to know and assume that he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, that's enough for me to know, and therefore there's no problem about me sending him a gift on the pagan holiday. However, Vama Rabbi Bar Chanan Amar Rabbi Yechonon, the Gemara asked that Rabbi Chanan said the name of Rabbi Yechonon following halacha. Ger Toshav, resident convert, Sha'avru Lav Yud Beis Chodesh V'loy Mol, that 12 months already passed and he didn't circumcise himself. So, since he didn't become a full-fledged Jew, Harehu Kimin Sheba Evdi Kechavim is like a heretic amongst the idol worshippers. So you see that even though he's not doing Avodah Zarah, if he doesn't become a full-fledged Jew, then we do consider him an Avodah Kechavim. So how can you go ahead and give this Avidrana a gift, B'yom Edom, on their pagan holiday, if he's not circumcised, and it's already more than 12 months? So that answers the Gemara, Nahasim Kegoyin Shekibul Lav Lamo V'Lemal. There it's worse in the halacha of Rabbi Ochanan, because he accepted that he's going to convert, and he doesn't. That's what's called a Reyesa. That's a flaw. That's saying, hey, wait a second. This guy is ready to take the next step. There's something holding him back. Then we assume that he's like an idol worshiper and he's probably very attached to his idolatry, and that's why. But a regular non-Jew who doesn't worship, could be he doesn't worship, but he's not interested in becoming Jewish, and there's no reason for us to assume that he is worshiping Avodah Zarah, and that's why he can give him the gift, B'yom Edom. Similar type of a story that begins that Rava Amti Le Kurbano Le Bar Sheshach B'yom Edom. Rava came to bring a gift to Bar Sheshach, who is a non-Jew, on the day of their pagan holiday. Amar, he said, the same idea. Yadana Beidalei Palach Avodah Zarah. He goes, I know that this guy's not into idolatry. He doesn't worship Avodah Zarah. There's no problem about me giving a gift on their secular holiday. He's not worshiping Avodah Zarah. Now, Azal Ashkech Yosef Atzavari Bivarda. He found him. They were sitting up to his neck in a bath of roses. V'kaiman Zaynis Arumis Kameh. And he had naked harlots in front of him. Amalei, he said to Rava, Isluchu Kai Gamnu Da'amad Asi? You Jews have this in the world to come. Look what pleasures I have over here. Do you have this in the world to come? Amalei, so Rabbi said to him, Didan Adifa Tvei Mahai. What we have is better than what you have. Amalei, so he said, rhetorically, Tvei Mahai Mihava? Is something better than what I have over here? Amalei, so he said to him, Atun Ika Alaychu Emosa De Malchusa. Whatever pleasures you have, you still have the fear of the government, of the king on you. Anan, Letahav Alon Emosa De Malchusa. We don't have any fear of the king. We have total pleasure. So Malay, so Bar Sheshach said to him, what are you saying? What am I lacking in pleasure? What type of fear of the king do I have? Look at me. I'm in the lap of luxury, all the pleasures I can think of. Says the Gemara, Adi Yasvi, while they were still sitting, before Rova even had a chance to respond, after what Bar Sheshach had said, Asahu Pristuko de Malka, there came a messenger from the king, Amalei, and said to Bar Sheshach, Kum, get up, the Kabay Lech Malka, the king wants you. Kinafik Va'azal Amalei, when he was getting up and leaving, he told Rava, Eina Deboy Lamechzi Lechub Bishu, so the eye that wants to see evil on you, who desires your bad to the Jewish people, Tifka, let his eye pop out. Because look, how God fulfills all your desires, because even the words that you say this next moment gets clarified, that we see that you're right. Look at this. Who would have suspected the king would send for me? Amalei Rava Amen, so that to that blessing Rava said Amen. And Paka Eini de Bar Sheshach, and the eye of Bar Sheshach himself, who maybe unconsciously didn't realize this relationship that he had to the Jews, although he didn't believe in idolatry, but he had this way of looking at the Jewish people where he's thinking, what do they have in the world to come? And his own eye popped out because of the blessing that he gave to Rava. Now Amar Papi, Rav Papi says regarding this incident, Ibayli Lememerle Lemahai Kra. He should have answered him the question by saying, do you have anything, you have this, what I have in the world to come? He should have brought him a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Benois malachim bikrei secha," that princesses are giving you honor, which this was the prophecy that was said to the Jewish people regarding the world to come. Shegel mincha, the queen is at your right, bekesem oifer, with the gold of oifer. Meaning to say, look what we're going to have in the world to come. He says, he should have brought him a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, ayin lo rasa alekim zolasecha, no eye has beheld it beside you, God. Yasl mechakulay, that he does for those who anticipate him, meaning that there's going to be unimaginable honor and glory in the world to come. And they should have showed him that, yeah, we have much more than you can even imagine in your physical world, in the spiritual domain in the world to come. Now the Mishnah said, "Schari lasis emay malacha acheres." We said that a sechah is a payel. If someone hires a worker to do work with yai nesach, so the wages are prohibited. But if you hired him to do other work, even if he also added in that other work, hey, help me carry this barrel of yai nesach, the wages are going to be permitted. Now, from the fact that it doesn't state otherwise, the Gemara assumes the avagav de loyomale is this: even if the employer didn't tell the Jewish worker to help him move the barrel, Le'itoisi Erev, specifically at evening time. Meaning he didn't tell him, because the Bryce is not saying that it's at that point. It's not only after he finished all the work that he's getting paid for, and that only then did he ask him. No, it sounds like even before he finishes, sometime in the middle of the day when he's in the middle of doing his work, he tells him, hey, help me transport this barrel of Yayin Nesach. It seems from the ambiguity of our Mishnah that even then the wages would be permitted. And that is the Gemara, is that so? But Ramini, that seems to be contradicted from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Asir Chazapayel, if a non-Jew hires a Jewish worker, Uli Taisi Erev, and towards evening time, when it's already, he's ready, owes him the money for the wages that he worked that day before he's going to help him do this favor of transporting this barrel. Amalai tells him, look, I know, you know, Jacob, you're about to go home. Do me a favor. I have this barrel of Yayin Nesach. Please help me move it. And he helps him move it. Says the Brice is Schar Mutter. So then the wages are permitted. Says the Gemara, time and Amalai li Taisi Erev in. It sounds like only because that was already after the work day, after the wages they was getting for something unrelated to Yayin Nesach. And then he does that favor of him at the end, then he's going to be able to take the wages. But if it sounds like it was any time during the daytime, then it would be prohibited because part of the wages is going to be including Yayin Nesach, which is prohibited. Our Mishnah seems to indicate at any point in time he could have him do this if his primary job was something else. To which Abai says, no, kitzna, I'm misneaten. You're right. When was the halacha of our Mishnah said? Like the Braisa, normally, Taisi Erev Tanan, it was said regarding only if he says them at evening time when his job was over, then it's not going to prohibit what was already permitted, what already finished the job from before. Another approach, Rav Amar, he says, no, truthfully is, we could even say that this request that he helped out the non-Jew with his barley yayin nesach was not even towards evening time. And still, like Kasha, since it's not going to be difficult, the contradiction of our Mishnah and the Braisa. Why? Because the halacha, the braisa, that we said that if he didn't tell them at evening time, then all his wages are going to be aser, is, for example, the amarle, where he tells him the following phraseology. He says, "Havli mea chavius b'mea prutas." Help me transport 100 barrels for 100 prutas. Where as long as he didn't transport all 100 barrels, so he's not going to pay him anything because it's only for the quota of 100 barrels. So therefore, since one out of the 100 barrels are yayin esach, so all of the wages is going on all of the work. And part of that is Yayin Nesach, therefore he can't take the wages. In contrast, the halacha of our Mishnah, which said that we inferred would be mutter even if he had him do it during the daytime, is the amale where he told him, Havali chavis chavis beprutu. He says, here, help me. For every barrel you help me take, I'll give you a prutu. And then he finds out that one of the 100 barrels was that of Yayin Nesach. So that's very simple. That one pruta of that barrel, he'll throw to the river. Or he won't take that pruta from the non-Jewish employer, but the rest is going to be permitted. Because the wage for that one barrel has nothing to do with the other barrels. Each barrel is its own operation, it's its own contract, and each one is therefore a separate wage. For Tanya, like, well, in the Braisa, the same idea. If a non-Jew hires a Jewish worker and he tells them, Havali mei chavis bebein prutas, I want you to transport 100 barrels for me, and then I'll pay 100 prutas. Then he finds out that one of the 100 was Yayin Nesach, Scharyos. So that's part of the entire wage, and that's going to be prohibited. But Chavis beprutav, he says, look, for every barrel I'll pay you a prutav. And then after he did 100, he found that one of them had Yayin Nesach, Schary Mutter. So the other 99 are going to be permitted. That one he'll throw to the river, or he won't take from the Jew. And therefore, that's a resolution of the contradiction where Is one allowed to say during the daytime or not? Depends how it's requested, if it's 100 for 100 or each one for one. Now the Mishnah, they continue, which is a parallel type of a case. Similar to an employer as hiring an employee to work with Yayin Nesach. So it says if a non-Jew rents a donkey from a Jew to transport Yayin Nesach on it, so the Mishnah says, so the wages are going to be, the rental of that donkey is going to be prohibited. So says the Gemara, Hasulamli, what do I need this for? In the ratio, same thing as hiring the worker. We understand if it's wages for a purpose of working with Yayin Nesach, it's aser. What's the difference between a worker or the rental of his donkey? Says the Gemara, you're right, that's not necessary, but Sefer Yitzchukhli, the second half of that halacha is a chiddush, and that's why we quote it. The Mishnah continues, it says, if let's, however, the non-Jew didn't rent it to transport his Yayin Nesach, he rented it so he can travel somewhere. That's what the Mishnah says, even if the non-Jew does put his flask, which has his Yayin Nesach in it, on the donkey, still the wages of that, the rental of the donkey is going to be permitted, which the Chiddush of the Mishnah is telling us, that the rental that he's paying for the donkey is not being paid for the jugs that he's carrying on his donkey, and therefore it's going to be permitted. That is the Gemara Lememra, is that to say, Delogin, that the jugs of Yayin Nesach, Lavdina Hula Eisvei, that's not part of the contract, it's not permitted for the non-Jew to put it on the donkey if he's only renting it for his own travel, and that's why the payment that the Jew is getting for the rental of the donkey is not going on his jugs? But for a minute, that seems to be contradicted from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Asecher Zachamar, if someone rents a donkey, so Secher Menechelo, what is the rights of the contract of the rental that the renter could put on the donkey? So besides himself, it includes kesusa, his garments, veliginase, and his jugs, which is what the Gemara's question is from, umezeinaisev shalaisederach, and all the sustenance he needs, the food he needs for that whole journey, even if it's of a distance of 3 days. He has the rights to put all that onto the donkey. Bekama eilech, anything beyond that, chamar ma'akabalav, the donkey driver, who's the owner, he could stop and say, look, you can't put on so much, it's going to tax the donkey too much. Now, chamar menichla, what could the donkey driver himself put on it? Sa'irim, barley, betevin, and straw, misenesev, shalaisayim, and all the food he needs for that day. Bekama eilech, anything beyond that, seichem akablav, the renter, could stop the donkey driver and say, no, you can't put on that much, it's going to slow us down. So one thing we see is, part of the contractual agreement of the renter is not only that his body could go on there, but his jugs. If it's jugs, that means the payment of the rental of the donkey includes the jugs of the Yayin Nesach, so why is that going to be permitted? That should be prohibited. Amabayi says, you're right, what you learn from the Braisa is, although it's permitted for the renter to put his jugs on, he's not going to get sued if it turns out that he didn't keep his contract of just renting for himself to journey in it if he puts his jugs in it. But if he doesn't put his jugs on the donkey, do we say, does the renter say to the donkey driver, to the owner, so then you got to take off from the rental price of the donkey that he's not putting on his jugs in it? No. Since if he wouldn't put on his jugs, we wouldn't diminish the amount of the rental price, because the primary rental is for the person to journey on it. So even when he puts the jugs on it, that means to say that the rental is not the obligation for the jugs, and therefore it's not collecting because of the jugs, and that's why that wages of the rental is going to be permitted, because not, although he's allowed to, but it's not collecting for that, and therefore there's no problem about getting indirect benefit from the Yayin Nesach. Now the Gemara asked, once we introduced this braisa, hey chedami, how do we understand this braisa that says that the renter could put the food for the whole journey on the donkey, but yet the donkey driver could only put on food for 1 day's worth? That is the Gemara, what's this case? If they're going to be able to find food on the way, and wherever they stop, this food on pit stops. So chamar nami la'akev. So the donkey driver should be able to stop the renter and say, you can't bring for the 12-day journey. We can pick up on the way. You're weighing us down. And if they can't find food on the way, so seicha nami lo la'akev. So then if it's a 3-day journey, how can the renter stop the donkey driver for only having food for 1 day? What, 2 days he has to starve? So my puppy says, lo yitzricha, no, the case is talking about deshchiach lemitrach ulemizvan me'avne la'avne. No, it's possible if one puts in the effort to go by from stop to stop in every day's worth of a journey. But it's difficult. You got to haggle and hassle and find and do research. But if you need to, you could. So chamar darchi lemitrach lemizvan, a donkey driver, this is what he does. He knows, he says, he goes, he has all the ins and outs. It's normal for him to go and put in the effort and buy stuff because he's always on the road, he always gets stuck, so he knows how to do it. So for him, we don't allow him to take more than 1 day's worth because he can find on the way. Seicher lavdar chalimitchuk lemizvin. But the renter, he's just some regular guy who doesn't know, and he just happens to be renting this guy donkey. He'd take me somewhere. If for him it's not normal, and therefore he's allowed to take all the food for his journey. That's the difference between the chamar and the seicher. A story in the halacha relating to the halachas we mentioned before. The gemara brings out avuah de Rav Acha b'rid Rav Ika, the father of Acha b'rid Rav Ika. As we continue to the days, have a shavrich lahu chamar loyvi kuchavim. He was a wholesaler of wine. And generally, when someone, a wholesaler, sells barrels of wine, so the consumer, which is the retailer, he then sells to individuals, they also purchase, in their purchase of the wine, they get the barrels too. As the Gemara says, I'm Afkin, but Metzidav Mimim Beis. Now, the reason for that is because the buyer, who's the store owner, he not only sells the wine, but he also can now sell the barrels, and he makes money not off the wine, but also of the barrels too. Now, Rav Ika, what he did was, when he would sell as a wholesaler the barrels to the non-Jewish store owners, he would take the barrel and pour from the barrel's contents into the wineskins, the leather containers of the non-Jewish store owners, and he would put into them, and he would ship it to them that way. V'azel ma'avr lehu ma'avr, and he would go ahead and transport it over the water with a ferry. V'yavale gulfi, and the non-Jewish buyers, these storekeepers, they would give him with the barrels that they're buying from him, which really belongs to them, they would give it ba'agra in the pay for the effort that he did of transporting it. So for that payment, they would give him the barrel, so he would be able to keep the money of the barrel. He would keep the barrel. So not only did he make money on the sale, but usually the sale includes the wine and the barrel, he got to keep the barrel so that he could use it, and for payment for the fact that he was transporting it to them, putting into their wineskins and transporting them, bringing it to where their store was. Now, Asu Amalei Labaya, people came and told Abaya what he was doing. So Amalehem Abaya said to them, there's no problem. Kika Tarach, let's start off in the beginning. When he's putting in the effort and he's pouring the wine from his barrel into the non-Jewish wineskins, Beheterika Tarach, he's doing in his own permitted wine. Because the wine does not become forbidden until it reaches the bottom of their wineskins. Meaning their zikim are made out of leather. When it reaches the bottom, so then it becomes prohibited because there's all the yayin nesach in there, and it's the non-Jews. But when he's pouring it in, it's not yayin nesach yet, and therefore that's a permitted thing for him to do, which the Gemara later on is going to ask. But there's a bigger problem, which is when he's transporting over the water, that was already in their wineskins, and he's benefiting from yayin nesach, where he's getting a payment, when it already became forbidden. But the Gemara still continues and asks, okay, fine. So there's no problem when he's pouring the wine from his barrel into the wineskins. But ask the Gemara, but v'haroitze b'kiyumai. But he wants that to be maintained after it became forbidden. Once it's in the wineskin, he wants delay nitzteru zike. He wants that the flasks that he poured into before he ships it to their homes, to their stores, it should not burst. Because if it would burst, then they would need the barrel for it to be shipped in. And then they wouldn't give him the barrel, which they're giving to him because he's shipping it to them. So he's right to Bekuma, which you mentioned in the previous dafim, that is a prohibition relating to Yayin Nesach, and this is essential to the work that he's doing, that he's right to Bekuma, and therefore he should be prohibited to get payment from that. So Zigmund, no, demasni bahadayu, that he went and he stipulated with them that even if their flasks burst, he's still not giving them the barrels. Meaning, yeah, they're doing it because he's doing it, but he's telling them, look, even if it doesn't work out, I want you to know I'm still going to keep the barrels. And since it doesn't make a difference to him if their wine flask bursts, because he's still not going to give them the barrels, so he's not ready to be kiyumai. Or inami, or also, the maisu pristoki bahadayu, where the non-Jewish storekeepers, that they would come along with their empty vessels to receive the wine that would come out of the flasks if it bursts, where again, therefore it doesn't make a difference to him if it bursts, because anyway, they have the vessels that's going to catch the wine, so they're not going to need the barrel. So there's no problem about that. Now that the Gemara continues asking, but like we mentioned before, but he's transporting for them their wine in their flasks, the Katarch Bistur, where he's putting effort into a prohibited item of the Ayin Nesach, and he's getting payment for it. He's getting the barrel because of that. But how could he do that? This is full-fledged Ayin Nesach once it reaches their flask. So that answers the Gemara. Ravika was in charge of the rivers. And the Amalei Lamabarvaya, he told the sailors, Me'ikara, from beforehand, days before, he said, look, whenever these guys come, I want you to do me a favor, because I'm in charge over here, I'm the chaplain, I'm in charge, go ahead and transport it for free. Or inami, another approach is, dinikiti bekitri. What he would do is he would make a certain knot for them as a sign, which the sailor would recognize their knot, and he would say, oh, this is from Ravika, okay, he would transport it. But the point is that he wouldn't put in any effort. You're right, he can't put in any effort because that would be toiling in regards to the Ayin Nesek. But here he wouldn't do anything. The transport would go by itself because he made up with the sailor days before, and therefore there's no problem, he didn't put in any effort, and therefore what he's doing is okay, and he could be making this barrel out of doing the service for the non-Jews, and he's not doing anything prohibited. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme like the first words in the Mishnah is regarding Yayin Nesach, regarding the wine of libations, which is the prohibited wine of a non-Jew. Shenofla gabe anavim. If it falls on tops of grapes, so says the Mishnah, siyadichim, so you wash off the grapes with water, vehimutars, and they're permitted, because it doesn't get absorbed. But vim hoyu mevukais, but if it was burst open, with the skin that which is resistant to moisture, or as even Taisa says, even if it was taken off from the stem, which you have the hole on the top, so then the wine can get absorbed into the fruit of the grape, then asuris, then it's forbidden because it had absorbed the Ayin Nesach inside of it. Continues the Mishnah, Nafal Agabi Teinim. If let's say the Ayin Nesach falls on top of figs, Agabi Tamarma on top of dates. So says the Mishnah, Im Yesh Behen Benoisin Tam Aser. If it gives a taste into the fruits, so then it has a taste of an Iser of Yayin Nesach, then the fruits are going to be Aser. Says the Mishnah, Maisa Bebeis Ben Zainan. It was an incident with this person, Beis Ben Zainan. Shehevi Gregoris Besvina, that he brought these dried figs on a boat. There was a barrel of Yayin Nesach that was there that shattered and fell all over his dried figs. The Shalach Chacham determined, he asked this halacha to the sages and they permitted it. And concludes the Mishnah, Zakal, this is the rule. Kol Shabbah Nosib Noisin Tam, whenever the benefit is going to be that it's going to get a taste of the prohibited item, what's known as Noisin Tam L'Shvach, it gives a good taste into the permitted item. The prohibited item is giving a good taste, then Aser, then it's going to be prohibited. So like by the grapes, the wine's giving a good taste, it's prohibited. When it doesn't give a good taste, then it's going to be mutter, says the Mishnah. Kugain, for example, chaymit shenofal gabe grisin, if vinegar that falls onto split beans, where it gives a bad taste to it, then although it's giving a taste from the prohibited item, it's going to be mutter, it's going to be permitted. Now the Gemara asks, regarding the halacha of the Mishnah, Maisa Lister, the Tana of the Mishnah is bringing a story that contradicts. In other words, does a person bring a proof to what he's saying that's going to contradict it? Because the Mishnah says that if the Wayayin Esach, the prohibited item, gives a taste, it's going to be forbidden. And then what's the next thing the Mishnah quotes is a story of the dried figs, which is giving taste because the Yayin Esach fell on it. And it says the Chum permitted it. How do we understand this story? Says the Gemara, Chesui Mechzer Balakitan, there's words missing in our Mishnah, and this is how you have to learn it. Im Noisin Tam Liv Gam Hu Mutter. The Mishnah has to add on something that it's saying. But if it gives although it's giving a taste, but it gives a bad, deficient taste, then it's going to be permitted. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. When Maisa Nami Bebeis Ben Zainan, Shall you maybe Gregorius Bistrin? That it was bringing dried figs on the boat, which wine actually gives a bad taste into the dried figs. The Nishtab Chavish Al Yayin Nesach Benaval Gabayin, and the barrel of Yayin Nesach broke and fell all over the dried figs. But Maisa Ben Chacham determined, they brought it in, the story is brought in front of the sages, and they permitted it again because this Tam Lifgam gives a bad, deficient taste. Now the Gemara brings the following incident that will relate back to the Halacha of our Mishnah. Who created the Chit? It was a pile of wheat. The Nafal Alei Chavitid Yayin Nesach, that a barrel of Yayin Nesach shattered and fell all over the wheat, which as we'll see, as the Rishonim explained, we're talking about Stam Yainun here, which not Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach, if it mixes into something, everything's permitted, prohibited even from having benefit. Talking about the regular wine of a non-Jew, which we assume that it's as problematic, but it's not as astringent as Yayin Nesach. So Shari Rava Lizvuni La'evdikacham, so Rava permitted to be sold off to non-Jews. You can't drink it, because even Stam Yainun, it's going to be permitted to drink, though the wine came into the wheat, but permitted to sell it off and have benefit from it selling to the non-Jew. On that, Esavei Rabba Bar Livoy L'Ravi asked from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Begesh Ava by Klayim. Regarding a garment that there was a stitch woven in over there from wool and linen together. It's somewhere in the garment, but it's lost, meaning you can't tell where it is, which makes it a garment of Klayim. You can't wear the whole garment. But neither do you know where it is to be recognized. Says the Brisa, HaRezo Leim Karen Lev Kecham, you can't even sell it to a non-Jew. Why? As the Gemara is going to shortly explain, because maybe the non-Jew is going to sell it to a Jew, and the Jew doesn't recognize, you can't tell that one little piece of clime over there, and therefore it's prohibited. Which, that's the same question that's being asked over here on Rava, is that you have to be concerned over here, where this wheat looks like regular wheat, although it absorbed from the Yayin Nesach, but he's selling it to a non-Jew, he might sell it to a Jew, and the Jew's going to have prohibited Yayin Nesach in his wheat. So to Kadin is the Brisa of Aleya Sinner Mardas Lachamar. Neither can you make this garment into a saddle for a donkey, because again, it might be used by a Jew. But you could make it burial shrouds for a dead person, because as the Pasuk says, by dead people is called free, meaning once a person dies, he's free from all mitzvahs, no problem for a dead person to wear kalayim. But says the Gemara, what's the reason why you can't sell it to a non-Jew? The Ma'asul is Zvunli Yisrael, he might come to sell it to a Jew. Says the Gemara, and Rav, Ha'chanamasul is Zvunli Yisrael, might come to sell it to a Jew. How can you sell the wheat to the non-Jew who might sell it to a Jew? So Hadar Shara, so you're right, so Rav retracted, and he ultimately permitted Limitchinu Ulmafinu. He permitted that they could grind down the wheat and to bake it, ulzvinu la'avikachom, and then sell it to a non-Jew. And now there's no more concern that a Jew might buy from the non-Jew, because the bread of a non-Jew is prohibited to a Jew. So no Jew is going to buy from it. Moreover, he stipulated that the sale to the non-Jew has to be shaloi b'vnei Yisrael, not in front of another Jew. Because if a Jew sees this Jew selling this bread to the non-Jew, so then this Jew might come to buy from the non-Jew, because he's going to say, hey, this is not non-Jewish bread, it was Jewish bread. And then, because the Jew baked it. So there's no problem about Pasakum. The problem is he might run into the problem about that it's really Yayin Nesach. So therefore he says that you're right, that you can't go ahead and buy it, you can't go ahead and sell it to a non-Jew, but if you make it into bread, then you're not going to run into that problem. But now the Gemara asks on Rava in general. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah that says Yayin Nesach Shnovel Gabay Novim. Granting Yayin Nesach that falls on top of grapes. So we said, Yedichin Vemetaris, you just wash it off and it's permitted. But said the Mishnah, if they were burst open, if that outer skin was open, making the flesh susceptible to the wine, then it's forbidden. Says the Gemara, mevukayis in. So it sounds like only if it burst, then it's a problem. But if the grape is intact, then there's no problem. So why was there any problem over here of the Yayin Nesach on the wheat that it's going to become usher? Why is it even usher? It's still intact. Amar Papa says, no, Shanechita, wheat is different. Hoil va'agav tzirayu. Since because of the cracks, wheat is created differently than grapes, that there's crevices in the wheat, kimuvukoyis, I mean, it's like it's burst, it's the same thing, it's more susceptible to absorbing the Yayin Nesach, and therefore, even though it's intact, it will absorb, and therefore, there's a problem about consumption, as we said, because it's tam yin, there's no problem about ano, so you can sell off to a non-Jew, but again, as we said, not just in general, because a Jew might buy it then from the non-Jew and it's not recognizable. But again, if you make it into bread, which is not going to run into the problem, but the Jew buying from it, that would be a permitted way to go ahead and sell it off. But one cannot drink it because it's similar to the case of Anov Mubukais, which is going to absorb from the Yayin Nesach, and therefore it becomes prohibited for consumption.